Well, turning your Bibles to Hebrews 11, we're continuing, of course, our study of the Hall of Fame of Faith, and we're seeing really one of the most famous chapters really in the Bible. We're seeing men and women who took God at His Word, who trusted God. We call them men and women of faith. I mean, it's a great study because we're going verse by verse, passage by passage, and we're seeing different acts of faith from the Old Testament. The goal, of course, as we study this, is that we would be encouraged, that we would be men and women of faith, that we would take God at His Word. Well, this morning, as we look through this, we're going to continue seeing Moses. And I call it leaving by faith, because he was a man who stood for God, who lived for God. We want to learn from his life. We want to see some of the things that he did, and we want to learn from them. I was watching, I was flipping through the TV channels not too long ago, and I saw, I guess you'd call him an evangelist, TV evangelist. I don't usually go to those stations personally. I like other things. But anyway, I just hit on that, and he was saying this. And he said this good. He said, when you come to Jesus Christ, you know, he's the answer. And that when you come to Jesus Christ, he just said this, when you trust in him, your problems will be over with. And then he said, you'll be blessed by God. And I said, that's right. I mean, you'll be blessed by God, because when you trust in Jesus Christ as Savior, he gives you eternal life, and you've got the Word, and you can understand it, you've got the Holy Spirit, all those. Then he said this. So he said, when you come to Jesus, you have victory over all enemies. There's no more sickness. You've defeated the devil, and there's no more problems. Now, when you start thinking about that, you say, wait a minute, there's no more problems, no more sickness. There's a teaching, this is called prosperity theology. It's the idea that when you come to Jesus, your problems are solved. And if you do have problems, it's because you don't have enough faith. And so the question is this true? The answer is no, it's not. In fact, as a believer, you may have more problems. When you trust in Jesus Christ as Savior, you're taken out of this old fallen world and you're placed in Christ, but you live in this world and you're now contrary to the world, and the things that you believe and hold to and live for are contrary to the fallen world system. And you have the enemy, the devil, and so you may have more problems. So how do we deal with all of this? This morning, I want you to think about three questions, okay? The first one is this. How do we respond when things go wrong? I mean, when you say this, when you say, Lord, what I want to do is I want to live for you. I want my life to count for you. I've decided that I know I've trusted in Jesus Christ as Savior, and I have eternal life, and I know I'm going to heaven, but I want to live for you. I want to live according to the Bible. I want to have quiet times. I want to study. I want to go to church. I want to be involved. I want to serve. And you say that, and you say, I'm going to grow, and I want to make a difference. And then things go wrong, and there's sickness, or maybe you lose your job, or there's all kind of things that happen. And when these kind of things happen, we usually think of two questions. And I mean, the questions would be, why does this happen, and what can I learn from it? And this morning, we want to think about that. When things go wrong, why do things go wrong, and what can we learn? There's a second question, and this is big. How do we respond when we live by God's word and there's opposition even from other believers? I mean, you realize that when you stand for Jesus Christ, you're in a fallen world, and you know that the world is against you. But sometimes fellow believers are against you when you stand for what's right. So how do we respond to that? What do we do? Then that takes us to the third question. How do our actions tie into faith? I mean, when we trust God and we say we trust God, what does that really mean? What does it mean to live by faith? It ties into what we do. Well, let's begin. Let's think about the life of Moses. Now, Moses is called the lawgiver, and he's just the great one. He lived 120 years, and his life was divided into three 40-year sections. The first 40 years of his life, he grew up in Pharaoh's household. He was basically the adopted son of Pharaoh's daughter. He was trained under everything by Pharaoh. He was rich. He was wealthy. He has everything. But at the age of 40, he realized he was Jewish. He thought he was supposed to be the one to lead the nation of Israel back to the promised land. He left the household of Pharaoh. He basically started living with the slaves, the Jewish people. He ended up killing somebody. I mean, all kinds of things happened, and he had to leave. And for the next 40 years, he was in Midian, in the backside of the desert, and he had a father-in-law named Jethro, and he was taking care of Jethro's sheep. And if you looked at his life, and you'd say, man, you've come to about nothing. But there he was, learning to be a shepherd, because in the final 40 years of his life, he would come back to Egypt, he would confront the Pharaoh, he would bring the nation of Israel out, and he would lead them for 40 years as their shepherd. So that's his life. But let's see something about this man, because here he is. He has been, he was in the backside of the desert. A bush was burning. He saw the bush burning. He said, the bush is burning. It's not burning up. He walks over to it, and God says, "That take your feet, shoes off. This is holy ground." And God tells Moses, you go back. You confront the Pharaoh, the most powerful man in the world, the most powerful empire in the world. You confront him, and you say, let my people go. And Moses went back and did that. And he went back time after time, and Pharaoh would say, I don't know who your God is, and get out of here. And he made it worse and worse and worse. And yet God brought those plagues on Egypt, which were basically judgments against the gods of Egypt. And finally, when we saw it, and if you notice, look at the verses, look at verse 27. It says, by faith he left Egypt as Moses, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing who was unseen. He was willing to walk right out of Egypt with all these people because he was seeing God, and he was not afraid of the Pharaoh, and he was willing to leave by faith. And that's what we see. And he was living by faith. He knew his God was with him. He kept his eyes on God. And then notice what it goes on to say. By faith he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood, so that he who destroyed the firstborn would not touch them. We saw that by faith he kept this Passover, and they were delivered from death. And it was an amazing thing. And if you remember, we saw it. They put the blood on the door. They killed the Passover lamb, put the blood on the door. At midnight, the angel of God came through, and anybody that didn't have the blood on the door, they lost their firstborn. I said this last time, not last week, but last time, that there was a death in every household. Either the firstborn died or the Passover lamb died. In every household. And Pharaoh and the Egyptians said, please get out. And they got out, and they asked for riches, and they asked for the gold, and they asked for it all, and they left. And they left, and it looked like, wow, this is amazing. They just walked out. You'd think, Pharaoh, wait a minute, I'm just losing a whole bunch of slaves here. I mean, this whole population of people are my slaves. And we know there were at least 2 million of them as they left. So it says, by faith, they kept the Passover and the sprinkling of the blood, so that he who destroyed the firstborn would not touch them. But now we come to verse 29. By faith, they passed through the Red Sea as though they were passing through dry land, and the Egyptians, when they attempted it, were drowned. And I really call this last one, leaving by faith the Red Sea. Now, this is a famous passage. I could call any of you up here and say, come up here and tell us what happened at the Red Sea. And almost every one of you would say, oh, here's what happened, because we know this story. But I want you to understand that leaving by faith wasn't easy. Wasn't easy. It didn't go smoothly. I want you to hold your place in Hebrews 11 and turn to Exodus chapter 14. Let's see what happened. Genesis, Exodus. Exodus is the second book in the Bible, second book in the Old Testament. Look at chapter 14. They've come out. They're being led by God. You know, this is the most amazing thing. They've come out, and there's this cloud. And by day, it's this giant cloud, and it leads them where to go. And every time the cloud moves, they move. They're like this. Cloud stops, they stopped. At nighttime, it was a pillar of fire. They could see it all the time. It was leading them. It was God's presence leading them. But here's our first question, if you remember what it was. How do we respond when things go wrong? Because you'd say, how could things go wrong? Because what Moses has done is just what God said. The Jewish people are doing what God said. They're walking right out. They're saying goodbye to the Egyptians. We're on our way. We're in great shape. We're doing exactly what God wants us to do. And when you do what God wants you to do, you won't have any problems. Yes, you will. Possibly. And we're going to see that they're doing what God wanted them to do. But look at chapter 14. Look at verses 1 and 2. It says, now the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, tell the sons of Israel to turn back and camp before Pi-Hahiroth, between Migdol and the sea. You shall camp in front of Baal-Zephon, opposite by the sea. Wait a minute. What are you talking about? What are we talking about? We're telling them to go back. Go back the way they came. I didn't put a map up, but they were leaving. And then God says, no, tell everybody to turn around and go back toward the Egyptians. And you could see people saying, Moses, what happened? We lose the compass? What are you talking about? Why are we turning around and going back? God says, go back this way. Why should we go back that way? I mean, we're trying to get away from the Egyptians, not go back to the Egyptians. But we get an answer why. We're going to see why. Look what he says. For Pharaoh will say of the sons of Israel, they're wandering aimlessly in the land. The wilderness has shut them in. Thus I will harden Pharaoh's heart, and he will chase after them. Then watch this next part. I will be honored through Pharaoh and all his army, and the Egyptians will know that I am the Lord, the eternal God. And they did so. You say, why? Why would things now? Because, see, going back to the Egyptians is not a good thing. In their minds, that's not a good thing. Why would God do that? Because God says, I will be honored. See, God has planned it. God knows what's going on. We've already seen the plagues. Realize sometimes when things happen in our lives, and we say, look, I'm living for God, but all this stuff has happened to me. Why does it happen to us? So that God will be honored. How we respond when the trials and the problems and the issues of life happen to us, people are going to look at us, and the ultimate goal is that God would be lifted up and honored no matter what happens to us. Do you remember in John chapter 9? There's this man, he's born blind. And he's a beggar. He sits there all the time. Everybody knows him. They say, who's that guy? He says, that's the guy that's born blind. He sits there every day and begs. And as Jesus walked by, his apostles with him said, oh, see that man born blind? Who's sinned there, him or his parents, that he would be born blind? Which is really a pretty stupid question. But Jesus didn't say that's a stupid question. He said, no. It has nothing to do with that. He was born blind for the glory of God. Because then Jesus healed him, and everybody knew it. Sometimes things come in our lives, and we go, this is bad. But God says, no. I'm going to be using it for good, that I will be lifted up and glorified. So when things go wrong, and we say, why? Why does things go wrong? Why aren't things smooth? Why do things not go the right way? The bottom line is so God will be glorified, because he works all things together for good. But remember the second question, what do we learn? What do we learn? We learn to trust him. We learn to trust God and that he'll be honored and glorified. So when the trial comes, when it's not as smooth as it should be, and you say why, the why is that God would be glorified. And the what is that we must learn to trust him in the trials. So when you live for Christ, and the bottom falls out. When you say, why would this happen now? Everything seemed to be okay. And when we say, listen, all I've ever said is I just want to live for Christ. I just want my life to count for Christ. Why would these kind of things come into my life? Why? So God would be glorified. What? So we would learn to trust him. Well, watch what happens. They've turned around, come back the wrong direction. They're not leaving, they're coming back. So what does the Pharaoh do? Look at verse 5. When the king of Egypt was told that the people had fled, Pharaoh and his servants had a change of heart toward the people, and they said, what is this we have done, that we have let Israel go from serving us? So he made his chariot ready, and he took his people with him, and he took 600 select chariots and other chariots of Egypt with the officers over all of them, and the Lord hardened the heart of Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and he chased after the sons of Israel as the sons of Israel were going out boldly. He's coming after them. Now, the Jewish people started off going this way, and then they've turned around, and they've camped, and if you watch what's happened, coming this way is Egypt, and this way is the Red Sea, and they're caught. They're caught right there. And you could say, wait a minute. I thought we were doing what God wants us to do. I don't think this is a good place to be. If God was working all this out, why are we here? Why? So that he'll be glorified. What? So we learn to trust him. So then there's a second question I want you to think about, and it's this. What do we do when we're standing for Jesus Christ, when we're living by God's word, and we have opposition? Even opposition from fellow believers. Think about this. Look at verse 10. As Pharaoh drew near, the sons of Israel looked, and behold, the Egyptians were marching after them, and they became very frightened. And so the sons of Israel cried out to the Lord, and then they said to Moses, is it because there were no graves in Egypt that you've taken us away to die in the wilderness? Why have you dealt with us this way, bringing us out of Egypt? Is this not the word that we spoke to you in Egypt, saying, leave us alone, that we may serve the Egyptians? It would have been better for us to serve the Egyptians than to die in the wilderness. They're saying this. If they're coming near, they're saying, it would have been better to be in Egypt. Listen, these are the fellow believers. And they're arguing with Moses. You'd think that Moses would say, yeah, I figure Pharaoh's after me, and I figure his army's after me, but I didn't figure my own people would be after me. You know what they're saying to Moses? Why'd you bring us out here? This is all your fault. Wasn't there enough graves in Egypt that you brought us out here to die? I mean, back in Egypt, we had food to eat. Out here, we're caught between the Egyptians and the Red Sea. What are we going to do? See, sometimes when you're living for Christ and you decide that you're going to stand for the truths of the Bible, that there'll be great opposition to you. And not only will there be opposition to you from unbelieving fallen world, there may be opposition to you from those who are fellow believers. I'll give you an example. Our church. We believe that salvation is a gift by faith alone in Christ alone. Isn't that true? God so loved the world that he what? Gave his only begotten son, Jesus Christ, that whosoever what? Believes in him will not perish but have everlasting life. We believe that salvation is a gift by faith alone in Christ alone. We expect the world to say, oh, we don't believe all that stuff. But do you also know that there are many believers, even in this community, that say, you guys are so wrong. You're not telling people the right message. You're telling people all they have to do is believe in Jesus and they're saved forever. And we're saying, yes, that's what we're telling them. All you have to do is believe in Jesus Christ as your Savior, and he gives you eternal life, and you're saved forever. I have a person that occasionally will come to church, and it's a real nice person, but they believe that salvation is more than faith. They believe that you need to do good works in order to be saved. And when they go out the door, they're a very nice person, but they always stop me and they say, you're making it too easy for people to be saved. And I go, Jesus makes it too easy for people to be saved. Jesus is the Savior. It's by faith alone. You understand that as a Christian, sometimes when you say, oh, I think it's just faith alone and Christ alone, there are going to be people attack you. And even fellow believers will attack you. So be expecting that. So what do we do when we stand for Jesus Christ and there's conflict and opposition, even from fellow believers? Expect it. Keep on standing. Keep on trusting. Keep on doing what's right. Keep on living by the Word of God. That takes us to our third question, and that is this. How do our actions tie to faith? What does it mean to live by faith? What does it mean it says that they left by faith and they crossed the Red Sea and the Egyptians? What happened? Well, look at verse 13. All the people are griping at him. Moses said to the people, don't fear. Stand by and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will accomplish for you today. For the Egyptians whom you have seen today, you will never see them again forever. He says, don't be afraid. Quit being afraid. It's so easy to be afraid when things are closing in on us, when it doesn't look like things are going to go well. This is when you have to say, I believe the Bible, and I'm going to live by the Word of God. Look what happened. The Lord, notice this word, and this verse is incredible. Verse 14, the Lord will fight for you while you keep silent. You don't have to scream, you don't have to holler, you don't have to cry. God's going to fight for us. That's what he says. Then the Lord said to Moses, why are you crying out to me? You can see Moses going back to God and say, what are you going to do? And God says, why are you crying out to me? Tell the sons of Israel to go forward. Now, let me tell you, what's this way? Red Sea. This way is the Egyptians. And by the way, this passage doesn't say anything about it right this second. But that big cloud by day and pillar of fire by night, that has moved in between the Jewish people and the Egyptians. And the Egyptians can't get to them. They could have caught them already, but they can't get to them because there's big cloud and big fire there. And the Jewish people are seeing that, and then they're looking out, and they see the Red Sea. And God tells Moses, y'all quit talking to me and just go on. In verse 16, as you lift up your staff and stretch out your hand over the sea and divide it, and the sons of Israel shall go through the midst of the sea on dry land. Now you understand, they didn't go through in mud. Oh, this is terrible. Good gracious, I just bought these sandals. I mean, think about it, right? It says the water parted And they went through on dry land. Now, I want you to understand something. We're not talking about 50 people. We're not talking about 100 people. We're not talking about 1,000 people. We're talking about 2 million people coming out. And the sea divided, and 2 million people, it took them all night. It was at dusk. They left, and it took them all night long to go across the Red Sea on dry land. Meanwhile, the Egyptians can't touch them because the pillar of fire is there. All night long, they went across. So what does Moses do? Look at verse 21. Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and the Lord swept the sea back by a strong east wind and all night, and he turned the sea into dry land, so the waters were divided. Look what happened. The sons of Israel went through the midst of the sea on the dry land, and the waters were like a wall to them on their right hand and on their left. Now, I want you to understand something. This is an act of faith. Do you think it was easy walking between that thing? Listen. Can you imagine the sea coming up and maybe being 100, 200 feet high on both sides, walls of water, and they say, okay, let's just go this way. Well, how do you know this is not going to fall in on you once you start in there? I don't like water. It would have been tough for me. I mean, I think I would have just run the whole way, you know, just to get through there as quick as I could, you know. Because think of that. Do you think it was an act of faith to step out between that whole thing of water on both sides? It's an act of faith. And it says the sons of Israel went through the midst of the sea on the dry land, and the waters were like a wall to them on their right hand and on their left. What did Moses do? Lifted up the staff, wind all night, pulled back the sea, and they went through all night. They took God at his word. What did God tell them to do? Go forward. Go forward. Moses did this, and the water went, and he said, let's go, and they went. Now, what happened? They took God at his word. I just want to give you a little example of something. You know, they did a survey of Christians, and they said, how many of you actually believe that the word of God is the key for your life and your relationship with God? 90% said yes. Now, you'd think it might be 100%, but 90% said yes. So 90% of the Christians said, we believe that the Bible is vital for our relationship with God and our relationship to grow. And then they ask them, how many of you have a regular time that you have what we'd call a quiet time or a Bible study? And 35% said they did. So about 55% who say it is so vital, and yet they never have quiet times for Bible studies. See, act of faith is saying, I believe the word of God. I'm going to live out the word of God. Faith and actions. Well, what happened? Well, look, I'm going to put this up there. The Egyptians followed. I mean, if I'm an Egyptian, I don't know if I'm following. But the Pharaoh said follow, so they followed. The Egyptians took up pursuit, and all the Pharaoh's horses and his chariots and his horsemen, they went after them in the midst of the sea at the morning watch. Now, I mean, it's all night long. In the morning watch, the Lord looked down on the army of the Egyptians through the pillar of fire in the cloud, and he brought the army of Egyptians into confusion. They're riding across on chariots trying to catch the nation of Israel, who's now to the other side. And he caused their chariot wheels to swerve, and he made them drive with difficulty. So the Egyptians said, let's get out of here. Let's flee from Israel, for the Lord is fighting for them against the Egyptians. And look what happened, verse 27. So Moses stretched out his hand over the sea. This is at daybreak. And the sea returned to its normal state at daybreak while the Egyptians were fleeing right into it. Then the Lord overthrew the Egyptians in the midst of the sea. Got them all. Got them all. Verse 30, thus the Lord saved Israel that day from the hand of the Egyptians, and Israel saw the Egyptians dead on the seashore. An act of faith. They left. Go back to Hebrews 11. It says, by faith, they passed through the Red Sea as though they were passing through dry land. They did. And the Egyptians, when they attempted it, were drowned. So some questions. How do we respond when things go wrong? When you're living for Christ, when you're living according to the Bible and things go wrong, why? So that God will be glorified. Why does this happen? God will be glorified. Second, what can we learn? I must learn to trust him. That's why it says, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith works patience. You trust him. Second question, how do we respond when we stand for God's word in opposition, even from believers? What do? We keep on standing. Expect the unbelievers to be against you, and then also realize that many times believers will be against you. Keep on standing. How does our faith, how do our actions tie into our faith? We act on the word of God. We live it out. We live it out. We live out our faith. We live out what we believe. If you say you believe that salvation is a gift by faith alone and Christ alone, then that's what you tell people. If you believe the word of God is perfect and it's true, then you study it and you believe it and you live by it. Examine our lives. Are we living according to the scripture? So let me give you some applications to think about. First one is, let's stand for Christ. Trust in him when things go wrong. Let's stand for him. Remember, why? Why does this happen? So he gets the glory. What can we learn? We can learn to trust him. May we trust him in the midst of the trial. Second, let's keep on standing when we have opposition, even from other believers. It's so easy. It's so easy to let opposition stop us. I've told this story before, but I was in a group on campus. It's been about 18 years ago. It's been a long time ago. I was in this group, and it's all the ministers, campus ministers would meet together, and I was there. And a person from one of the groups stood up and said, I would like to ask a favor. I would like to ask that none of you use the name Jesus around me that offends me. And that you would not use the name Jesus when you pray. And I had to say, I'm sorry, that when I pray to my Father in the name of Jesus. And I'll always use his name. And he is the name above all names. And so sometimes it's so easy to go, okay, well, we won't say that. We don't want to offend anybody. You stand for what is right. You stand for what is right in a fallen world. Last but not least, let's live out our faith. Let's be doers of the word of God and not just hearers. Let's live out what we know. When things go wrong, when others may oppose us, let's trust God, knowing that he's in control. And let's live by what we believe so God would get the honor and the glory.